There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're a slimy scumbag. Get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of, what is it, Dragon Con. Wow, I literally, that was not even like a bit. That was me just completely forgetting. I don't know. It's the podcast that as it gets down closer, just starts to forget things. And joining me, as always, is the always rememberable Lee. Remember?
Yeah, I was about to say, wait, you're about to forget my name too, aren't you? Yeah, you were.
I almost did.
I'm great. Did you see the guest announcement yesterday? Which, okay, who knows when you're going to hear this, but yes. We're a little bit ahead of ourselves.
Right. Amazing. No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. So, but
also since it's a podcast, you could decide not to download it until you start your drive to Atlanta. We know that some people do that.
And if you have a 40-ish hour drive, I'm really sorry. Yay, we got Zachary Levi. He was Chuck.
Is it Levi or Levy? I don't know what it is. Maybe somebody will know.
I don't know. Levy. Oh, let's go with Levy. I like Levy, or I don't know. But yay, he's there, and he is the man who smoldered as Eugene/Flynn entangled. People like calling him Eugene now because it's kind of cute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's awesome. So I'm excited.
Well, and of course, he's also cool Chuck guy. And strikingly handsome and very debonair in that picture. And wow, I mean, I'm sorry. What was I saying?
I don't know, but that's good. But, you know, adding a guest this late really doesn't mean that there's any logistical or operational.
No, I'm sure that didn't change anything.
I mean, we're going to find a tiny room, put him in.
Yeah. It's just not magic. It just happens. Oh, wait.
Not
somebody's here
you
to
hear
correct
that
us.
Lady in the background going, not at all. It's no big deal, right? That's Regina, the high mistress of programming at DragonCon.
Hello.
Hi, mistress. Is that your new title? Is that your official title?
Yeah, the queen of all programming. That's what Regina means, this queen. So, yeah. So, I'll go. Yeah, no logistics at all. None. That just happens just organically. Yeah.
Miraculously, he shows up and there are rooms.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
And you have a magic wand.
Doesn't involve any moving around or anything like that.
No.
We're very happy to have it. I believe it is pronounced Levi, but I could
Levi,
be wrong.
Okay. Is he heir to
we're
Levi
excited.
Fortune or no?
Yeah, we've been actually wanting to get him for several years, and you know, as we said, working actors sometimes it's a challenge. A lot of shows that. Shoot, in Vancouver, where Labor Day is not a holiday. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. That's an American holiday for it being in September. Sometimes that makes it a little difficult. So we've been very blessed to get hit the last minute.
So. That is really awesome, too. I mean, that's a heck of a get.
It is. We're very excited.
And as we say this, and I mean nothing negative, but you know, you guys might be working on stuff that us lowly track directors and others don't know. So this might not be the last get. So who knows?
Yeah. You never know. It is Dragon Con. Everything's changing. Yes.
You never know.
Well, when was it? When was the famous Shatner ad? That was like the Saturday before, right?
Yeah, it was right before. Well, it was actually about. It was the night before we were going to print for the pocket program, and I thought it was all done and ready, you know, and calm for a little bit, and then I got a call, at 10 p.m. from Pat Henry, who was the chair at the time. He is now the president. He's still the president of Dragon Con. He called me, and I thought, because Pat usually goes to bed early, I thought somebody had died. I mean, that was how I answered the phone. Hello? Mm-hmm. Somebody Hello? Died. Oh, no. Something going on? And his one word to me was, Shatner, make it happen.
Wow.
Okay. And that was the first year we had a 10 a.m. panel. So,
and then tradition was born.
That's my opportunity to expand programming. Yeah. So, boom, there you go. Oh,
yeah. We've always wanted
definitely
to start early
the biggest
Friday.
Dream for that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So as we said, you know, the your job isn't done until
Show is up.
Yeah, until the Tuesday after Dragon Con, and then it starts again on the Wednesday after Dragon Con.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really never stops because we are, as we've mentioned, you've mentioned on other podcasts, we are already planning for next year.
Right.
So, so it's kind of, you know, all the time. You know, it slows down for a couple weeks right after we get reports in and all that kind of things, but yeah, it's pretty most of the year, so
yeah.
So anyway, and of course, for those of you who've been listening, yes, I am the one that they keep referring to. We'll call them and tell them, no, you're wrong.
Yeah, first and foremost, we should probably get that registration thing out of the way yet again. It hasn't moved.
It hasn't moved.
It's in the Sheraton.
Oops. We did contemplate moving it last year. And then we got word from the Hilton, the dreaded word to me, which is renovations. Renovations to me is the four-letter word. Because of course you never know if everything's gonna be at the time or anything like that.
Yeah.
So but the renovations are complete. They're lovely, beautiful new spaces over in the Hilton, which we will be utilizing this year. But once we got those new spaces, we figured out pretty quickly that that was going to be more a better use to put tracks over there. Those of you who experienced trying to get to tracks in the America's Mart last year, know that we had some challenges. So we were dedicated to moving those tracks, because the Apparel Mart tends to, you know, run dealer's room hours. They're not really, they understand things that go longer than, you know, that, you know, tend to run trade shows and those kind of things. So we had a challenge saying we had one floor that needed to stay active. So we just decided we'd take care of that. And once we had these renovations complete, that's what we did. And we moved, we shifted some things around. So we've got new locations for a lot of your favorite tracks, but new and bigger spaces. So I think everybody will be pleased. So
that's really cool. Of course, we also lost the escalators that were at the back of there, is my understanding.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure why they took them out, but they did. And we will, you know, we'll adjust. We're flexible. Stay flexible.
Those were really nice for getting out to the street from
Yes, I use them myself. So I completely understand.
But new is nice too. So. Hello, dear listener. This is the point at which we realized that Skype was not going to be our friend today. So enjoy the rest of the podcast where Regina is actually calling in on a technology that still works called a landline. Well, technically it's still voice over IP, but it's coming from a regular telephone. So yeah, if it's good enough for Larry King, it's good enough for us. Enjoy.
Okay, so let's talk about track moves. So, obviously, we wanted to move some of those things out of the Apparel Mart, so we have moved. Military SF has moved to the Westin.
Okay.
Which they were at before, so it's not unknown ground when they were the Stargate track. But last year they expanded, of course, to the military, to include all the military kind of stuff. And they're going to be very busy because we have a lot in there this year. Alt History has moved to the Sheridan. They have two rooms over there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
They were in the Westin before, right?
They were in the Westin. They were in the Mart last year. We were trying to get them bigger space because, of course, their panels are very popular.
Right.
So we took an opportunity to move them over to the Sheridan because we didn't really have two rooms to give them over in the Westin.
Right.
Yeah.
So we moved them to the Sheridan. They'll be right down the hall from Lee in Extract and Paranormal. The Hilton is the big move. The Hilton bottom floor Galleria, which some of you may remember as being gaming, board gaming and stuff when they were there a couple of years ago. That was Phil Collins' domain down there. They have lots of nice breakout spaces now. So we have moved quite a few tracks there. So we have moved the Brit track there, Star Trek. Yes, Star Trek, anime and animation, podcasting. Mm. Podcasting, while that was in that hotel, has moved downstairs with them. The Silk Road track and the video rooms have moved from the Hyatt to the second floor of the Hilton because they do anime and animation videos. One of the video rooms is dedicated to that. We needed them to kind of be in the same hotel as the anime track. It's something that is important to those fans. So we moved them over there. That means all of that stuff that was on the bottom floor of the Hyatt, where most of these tracks came from, is now available. So it is now going to be the home of the blood drive. So one of the things that was that made us make that decision is, I don't know if you're familiar, but there is a door that was a handicap access sort of door that is right beside the parking garage between the, as we call it, lovingly refer to them, the stairs of death.
Well, and probably accurately. No one has actually died.
Kind of straight up from the street. And the parking garage that, you know, where it opens into the Hyatt, there's a door there.
Yeah.
So there's a door that can go straight from the street right into the blood drive. Literally, you will come out at the blood drive. So we thought that would be a good way for people, you know, to find it. So that was something that was appealing to us. And we managed to give them pretty much most of those rooms there. So it gives them a good amount of space. They can separate out some of their office activities, you know, with filling out paperwork, with people actually giving blood, those kind of things. So we're excited about that. So, and of course, Tolkien track has morphed into the high fantasy track.
Mm-hmm.
It can be more inclusive. I know that a lot of people, we still love our Tolkien people. Believe me, we do. But, whenever we change a track, it tends to make it broader and more inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a need there for things like Game of Thrones, Shannara, you know, all of those kind of things that are really coming to the forefront that is not just Tolkien, which is definitely, you know, the leader in fantasy. It's definitely one of the things that I cut my teeth on. But there's a lot of other stuff out there, and we like to be more inclusive if we can. So
that's also going to be how we
do things. Is when we shut down thing that's maybe really focused, it's because we usually broaden it up. So
right, and we've done this before. Wheel of Time is now going to be there, which is high fantasy as well. The Dark Tower, which a lot of people would think would be, because it's Stephen King, would be horror, is not. It's going to be over
there. It's not.
So,
it's fantasy.
Right. And that's what I...
It's funny how we relate a lot of our authors to a specific niche genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you remind people of of other works they did, and they go, oh yeah, they did do that. A lot of our authors do a lot of different things like that. Sometimes they write under different names for the different genres. David B. Coe is a perfect example. He's also D.B. Jackson, and D.B. Jackson is his young adult persona. So that's it's interesting sometimes where you see that. I think y'all said in another podcast you were talking about Charles Grant. Charlie used to come, and he actually wrote romance novels under a female name because they made him money, and he was really good at it.
And I read some of them after he gave me the name, and I was like, I had read these before and didn't know they were him.
I would have never imagined, that you would write that. But yeah, he does.
Especially if you read his book, Miss Charlie, versus that, you're like,
So it's actually really interesting, so we've shifted some things around. The Hilton is going to be very busy because we have a lot of tracks over there now because of their renovation space, and it's just awesome. And the other thing that we have over there is the new Hilton Grand Salon Ballroom, which they had this salon before, but they've changed its footprint, and the salon side was the side that had lower ceilings. You had the grand ballroom, which we still have, on one side, and the grand salon was lower. It was like 11, 12 feet ceilings. Gaming was in there, video gaming with Kevin and them were in there before gaming moved. But they have raised the ceilings. They actually took out the pool. Mm-hmm. And put in new steel and everything. And now they have lovely, gorgeous, fabulous 27-foot ceilings, which means I can use that as a big ballroom with a stage and everything. I'm super Woo-hoo! Excited about that. So so that's going to be, in fact, a lot of the big panels in that hotel will be in that ballroom. The other side I actually split into two smaller-sized ballrooms, or medium-sized ballrooms, I should say. So I kind of did a flip-flop. That's a lot of the, things that we do. But, everybody always thinks that the space just miraculously chooses itself. There's a lot of thought and planning that has to go into that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
One thing you just said is the Hilton no longer has its pool, which they actually Spence had done some things at that pool space and things like that. Do you know where they're going to be doing any of that? Because they used to bring out stuff so you could look at the sun and all that.
Right. The astronomy is still going to take place, but it's going to be out in an area kind of near where I know that people are. Where a lot of the cosplay pictures take pictures on those back stairs.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be kind of in a section out there.
Still
have it. But with that raising of that ceiling, it actually cut off some of the space up there to where you could actually view the sun because there's walls there now.
Wow. Yeah.
So we had to relocate it a little bit, but they're still going to be there. And we look forward to that being still a part of our programming. So
Very cool.
We love that. We love having all that extra science-y stuff going on where you can actually experience it in real time. So.
Okay. And so now, as we just said, registration is still going to be in the Sheraton. Is the right. Walk of Fame still going to be in the
Marriott Marquis Ballroom?
Marriott. Okay.
Same place as it's been a couple of years.
Yep.
And then the charity booth is right next to that.
Right.
And
then Art Blue,
just mentioning $100,000 match this year.
Oh, yeah.
Would love to give $200,000 to Special Olympics. They throw down the gauntlet. It took us a year or two to get to the $50,000 mark, but I'd really love to get it out of the gate.
Come on, people. We can do this.
It would be just fabulous to do that. Charity is very close to our hearts here at DragonCon. We decided some years ago, we had a lot of people collecting for different things, and it was hard to actually make an impact when you have, mm-hmm. you know, 40 tracks and they're all collecting $50 for whatever thing is important to them. And that's wonderful and all, but if you can combine all that together, you can really actually do something. Yep. So we decided to make an official charity, and that's what we focus our attention on. And then a few years after we did that, corporate people at Dragon Con came up and said, you know what? We're going to really focus on this, and we're going to do a match. Mm-hmm. First one was match dollar for dollar what we do at the convention. We match dollar for dollar up to 50 grand. And like I said, it took us a year or two, but we've had it for the last couple of years. We've matched it. And so they said, well, okay, you did that. So here you go. Let's here's your next goal.
Yeah,
and I actually found out when all the rest of the directors found out was when Mr. Henry announced that at the directors meeting yes. that day. And I was like, oh, really? Okay.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. We'll work on that. So I would love to be able to just take that money.
Well, that's, as we always say, as I always say, and I do it a lot is, I'd like to stick it to the man, even if the man in this case is a group of men and women who are all really good and have really good hearts. And we're not, it's not really sticking it to them because they really want to give it, but
they really want to give it. They really, really do. And so, they would really like you to do that. Let's come on, people. We're up for a challenge.
And as a reminder, this year the charity is the Georgia chapter of Special Olympics.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's kind of important to note. Anytime we do a chapter, anytime we do a charity, it is for a Georgia charity, the Georgia chapter. We really want to give back to our community. We always choose one that is meaningful to us as a group. We did lymphoma a couple of years ago. That's because we actually had two directors that passed away from that. Mm-hmm. It affects mm-hmm. us. And excuse me.
Yeah, see, we don't dwell on this.
American Heart Association, we talked about Donis Davis. Yeah. And we've had other people within our, obviously, heart disease is a terrible thing. American Diabetes Association, I'm diabetic myself, so that research is fabulous. We have so many research facilities here in Atlanta, Emory being a really big one. And so we really like to do things that are meaningful to our community, that our people, have have a connection to. So, so we always do that. And we do have a new process this year where charities can actually apply. There's an application on our website. But we do want to make a real big impact. We did the food bank a couple of years ago. Last year we did the Atlanta Center for Self-Sufficiency because that brings jobs to people who,
Jobs and hope.
Yeah. And the thing that was really inspiring to us is that their track record for people keeping those jobs more than 6 months was extraordinarily high.
Yeah.
So they give them, they don't just get them a job. They get them training so that they can do that job and continue and have a career. So that was very important to us, continuing.
And as Jen said, we're already 2 or 3 years ahead. We're thinking next year about planning Con, but we may be 2 or 3 years ahead on charity. That does not mean please don't apply.
Please apply. You never know. It could be something that really strikes a chord with us.
Yep.
And then they say, no, this is something we really want to focus on. So it, you know.
And it can also be something that maybe doesn't become the big charity, but does something with the Dragon Con superheroes, which, you know, is our volunteer group throughout the year.
Lupus Association was something that we did a couple of years ago as our big charity. But we do have members of our group that have lupus, you know, that it's personal. It's a personal thing. And Dragon Con is actually one of the corporate partners for the Georgia chapter. We're one of the largest. We actually raised the most money for the Lupus Walk this year of anybody. We were the number one team. So we continue to do those kind of things. Even though the Georgia Olympics, the Georgia chapter of the Special Olympics, is our charity this year, that doesn't mean we forget the charities we had before. We've done things with the Georgia Conservancy because we did them 1 year. So we went and cleaned up Sweetwater Park. Those are things that our community outreach, the Dragon Con Superheroes, does. We went to Piedmont Park because that's also part of the Georgia Conservancy. We did that in the fall, and we spread mulch in the dog parks. And I will let you know that we didn't just spread our three piles. We spread somebody else's pile because they got lazy and left.
Oh, my Lord.
They had half a pile left, and we went over there and did theirs, too. So because we're just awesome like that. So I was like, what do you mean? What's that pile over there? And they're like, oh, somebody did half of it, and then they quit because they only had a certain amount of hours. And we're like, you need that done? And we had it knocked down in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. And it is fun to see Dragon Con people not at Dragon Con, too, because then you're all of a sudden like, oh, my God, I can actually talk to you while we're not running between things.
Absolutely. So I have a lot of friends. I'm pretty active in the community, in the convention community. And they say, I'll see you at Dragon Con. And then they amend and say, I'll see you running past me at Dragon Con, and we'll wave at each other, because that's usually what happens.
One of the things, you know, it is, God love us, we love you all, every single one of you.
Absolutely we do. Sometimes I hate a few of you.
Occasionally,
I hate you for a minute. You know, but...
Sometimes our love can be tempered for a second or two, but we do love you. But we also see 70,000 of you. So please.
Yeah, it's going to probably be 82 this year. That's what we're estimating based on our pre-read, our pre-sales. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, guys.
Which is normal growth, actually, because we had 77 last year. So that's about 5,000. Okay, that's normal growth. But, And then, of course, that doesn't even count the parade, which is...
Yeah.
Well, Regina, I was trying to think, like, when I came in, my first year officially, as we've said, was 96. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think about that and go, okay, how many people would have been there? Because we were only in one hotel. We were only in the Hilton that year.
Right.
That was the last time we were
in the Hilton.
Right. And then we expanded and then went back to the Hilton later. But
exactly. We picked the Mecca. We moved over to the Hyatt and the Emporium for a year. And then we started expanding back. And we got we picked up the Marriott and then the Hilton again. And then we've expanded out to the Westin and the Sheraton. So
and I think
the Apparel Mart, two buildings of the Apparel Mart.
And you got your third 30 year this year, or was it last year?
No, 25. 25.
25.
So, I paid for a couple of years before I actually joined the madness. One of the things that you should never do if you don't want to volunteer is say, no, don't do that. That's a liability issue. And they go... You know what a liability issue is? Come with us. And they take your hand and they lead you away.
Never to be seen again. Never to enjoy a full panel again.
Correct. I said this before. I see the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes of a lot of stuff. Luckily, we now have streaming. And so I can actually... watch some things afterwards with a streaming membership and it's like, hey, yeah, that did work out. I'm just, yeah, cool. You know.
Well, and let's talk about the streaming membership. Can you explain what people are getting for that? I think it's $10. What are they getting for that?
Okay, so it's $10 if you are an attendee, if you have a badge.
Right.
It is $30 if you don't have a badge. Like, you can't come this year. You can still get a streaming membership. There are some going to be two ballrooms that will be streamed, our biggest ballrooms, the Centennial 2-3 and our Atrium Ballroom in the Marriott, which will have streaming live, and they will also be recorded. And then there's going to be a lot of others that are recorded, and they will obviously, you know, do their magic with their editing and all that kind of stuff. And then they will have them, you will log into the site, and you will be able to view all this content that was recorded at Dragon Con. So for people like me, who, like I said, are running things, so we don't really have the chance to see a lot, that's where we get to watch stuff. For people who maybe they're like, oh, man, I was there, and you would not believe what happened. Well, guess what? Maybe now they can see what happened.
But would they then still believe it?
I'm sorry.
Okay, never mind. It's just a joke.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it lasts like 3 or 4 months, I think, after the convention it's up. And so then, you know, like I said, the people that maybe they can't come to Dragon Con this year for whatever reason, you know, unless you're active duty military, you really need to come. We accept that. You know, you get orders. Okay, you're defending our country. We love you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your service. But, hey, maybe you could watch and get kind of that little virtual experience of Dragon Con and not feel like you're completely missing it. So,
That's really cool. So, so some of the stuff will be live streamed. Others will just be recorded and played later.
Right.
Is it the same thing that's the regular DragonCon TV, or is it going to be something slightly different?
It's kind of a combination. It's part of our group from DragonCon TV that has expanded.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of them have really, really good, broadcast experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're putting those skills to use. So
cool. Now I want to jump back a little bit, real quick. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot or what, but as far as when panels, merge or leave, how is that decision, made? Is it just looking at, it seems like nothing else is being generated here new, so let's go ahead and merge it into like, for example, how was Military Sci-Fi decide that, I mean, it would seem like Stargate.
Yeah,
wasn't
well,
really...
with that, there's currently no new content.
Right.
It's been a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
There has been talk about a new show, but we've heard, you know, we kind of waited to see if the new content was coming.
Right.
And as you know, in Hollywood, sometimes things get put on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes studios change, studio heads change, different directions are explored. Maybe the person that they really thought was going to be the lead actor now has another gig.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff happens. And then we start getting a lot of requests, you know, a lot of feedback in our social media and stuff that they would like to see other things. You know, they would,
okay,
you know,
cool.
And we can't do a track for every show.
No.
We don't have the space for
that. No.
So we can't just do a Game of Thrones track. We can't just do a Shannara track. We can't just do, you know, certain things, particularly if there's no new content coming.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Tolkien movies are kind of done for now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why High Fantasy, but we have all these other shows where there's all these people going, oh, can you bring so-and-so? Oh, goodness. Where does that fit? You know, so
mm-hmm.
when you start seeing a theme kind of forming up of requests, then that's an opportunity to broaden that. That's what we have with Military SF. Like I said, Stargate, kind of done for now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of other you know, a lot of things, a lot of requests. I mean, we can't just have a firefly.
Yeah.
I mean, much as a lot of us would love that. I mean, I loved my one season and my movie. I was so hopeful, but that would bring it back. But it's not gonna, we don't have the space to do that, you know, for 12 hours a day.
And as somebody who was on a track that started as just one show, I mean, we started as just X-Files.
Right.
Even with X-Files, even with X-Files now, 10 plus another new season, 11 seasons, whatever we want to call the last two, 10 and 11 is what they're calling them. So I'm using it. I can't fill 30 hours of programming, guys. I can't. I mean, it's just not as fun.
And you certainly don't want a director for every single show either. That way lays madness, right? I mean, it's just.
Right. Exactly. I mean, we already have, literally 100 directors because it's not just tracks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's registration. It's gaming. It's art show. It's all of the things that combined to make Dragon Con the fabulous place to be that it is in geekdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. I have people every year that are like, if you don't bring back whoever, Donnie Jones, then my con is ruined. And what I say is,
you're at the wrong con.
Sweetie, if you are only coming to Dragon Con for one person, you are missing the point.
Yep.
Look around. There are so much going on. We have such fabulous track directors who are so, you know, inventive with their content. And like I said, in all these other areas that are, you know, that merge in, you're missing the point. Go to a convention that is really focused on their work, a smaller convention.
Mm-hmm.
Come to DragonCon for the experience of having all of this wonderful stuff sort of under one roof. I mean, really, it's seven buildings.
Under one banner.
That doesn't even count the enjoyment of being with other people. Mm-hmm. That feel the same way you do.
Yeah, and that's not even counting.
Excited, because sometimes in your real life you don't have that. You know, last year, Stranger Things was
a surprise.
Debuted, four weeks before.
Wow. Yeah,
and that was the place everybody came to talk about it.
Right. We discussed this, I think, early in this season of 50 Days where.
It amazes me sometimes when people tell me that. I'm like, isn't it? And my favorite phrase to that, my response is, isn't it wonderful to have choices?
Well, that was the thing. There was somebody I'd read an article or somebody was bashing DragonCon because they should have known that Stranger Things was going to be huge and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, it literally was released like everyone had already locked their schedules.
Like 2 weeks before the show.
Yeah. The fact that there was a panel on it at all is surprising, right?
Uh-huh. So. Yeah.
Exactly.
We had no idea. I mean, we did that for Warehouse 13. We had no idea. We had a full standing room only with that, and it was
absolutely
on Sci-Fi.
Eureka was the same thing.
Yeah, Eureka was the same thing. No,
it kind of came out of nowhere. And with the streaming services like Netflix and stuff like that, particularly where the whole season drops.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And people can sit there and binge watch it, and then they're all very super, super, super excited. It's kind of changing the landscape.
Yeah,
it is. It is a lot. So. And you're trying, you know, all of us are trying to keep up to date on what might be out there and what might be coming. But guess what? You can't always.
You can't watch everything. That's why we have directors in areas that kind of, you know, they can focus in on that area.
Yeah.
And kind of say, hey, I'm seeing this, and I'm seeing, you know, all this fan reaction. Maybe we want to take a look. We actually have a shared Google document with shows on it, you know, and it's just like And then David Gordon and I, David is over the tracks. He's the senior director over the tracks, track operations and stuff, while I'm the head of programming. And we'll go through and say, okay, and we watch an episode or two or watch what's maybe whatever, maybe it hasn't even come out yet, and we're just looking at promos.
Yep.
And we kind of make a judgment call as to where we think this should fit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that list gets bigger and bigger every year.
And that list, you know, and that list changes as other things come up, as other tracks get
Absolutely.
Created, as other things happen. So, you know, be prepared for that because, you know, where you've always thought it might be, it might have changed.
That's right.
That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. I did want to check one other
thing.
You've had
stuff even in your track, Lee, that, you know, once was in another area and then the show changed.
Yep.
And became, you know, more relevant. It revealed itself to me more relevant to extract.
Right. And I've had as things changed, moved over. Supernatural. I've always talked about it. You know, we had it for years and then it went over to Urban and it fit much better over there. I think it's great.
That was because we saw a need to split what was dark fantasy into two tracks, which is horror and urban fantasy.
Right.
Because we saw that there was just so much content that one track director couldn't cover it all. So that's another thing that can drive it. If you suddenly, you know, for a while there, as poor geeks, we didn't have a lot of shows. We didn't have a lot of shows.
Be careful what you ask for, right?
However,
and
now it's amazing.
Five, 10 years, the amount of things that relate to us has just, you know, exponentially expanded. And so we're at the point now we can't cover everything. So we just try to, you know, focus in on some stuff. And this may be the focus this year, like urban fantasy for is a good example. They have a lot this year. They have a lot. It just is that kind of year where we have a lot of those kind of shows.
Yeah, it's great.
Anyway, it's all part of the fun.
It is. And I want to go back. I want to check one thing too. As we were talking about other hotel logistics. So, art show still in the Hyatt.
Yes, it's still in the Hyatt in the Grand Hall. It actually expanded last year when we moved the Comic Star Sally over to the Apparel Mart to take up all that space there.
Yay!
And actually, their track rooms are within that hall so that their artists and stuff that do panels on art don't have to go very far. They literally get up from their table and walk across the room, and they're in their track room. And that's part of it. You look at those kind of things. Okay, hey, we can split this off, and then this makes it easier for them to get there. We don't, you know.
And where would then be Artist Alley now? Comics Artist Alley?
That is over in the Apparel Mart Building 2.
Okay. Got it.
On the third floor. So we have two dealers' halls, first and second floor, and then the Comics Artist Alley is on the third floor. So if you have stuff you've bought in the dealer's room that maybe you want signed,
there you go.
By the original artist that happens to be there on the third floor, you don't have very far to go.
That's awesome. Now I got to check in with you. I know you have a list. Are there any other corrections of things that we've said that we need to have corrected before we move to the game portion of the show?
No, I mean, other than I told you about the Tolkien track, the becoming high fantasy, it's actually the room that is in is the same room that Tolkien track used. It's just not by the Kinko's. It's down, it's at, by the, what we call the back escalators. The ones that are on the Hilton side.
Yeah, if you took our directions, that's probably the your first mistake.
Where you would be doing is if you took their directions, you would actually be in the American SF Media Track.
Of course, that is also the furthest away from high fantasy you can be.
Yeah,
genre-wise as well.
End of the hotel. One thing I will mention that may be easier. I know, John, you've talked about being directionally challenged.
It's weird. Just
the Marriott
is
the middle hotel. Another thing about the Marriott is if you look at it and it says L501, that means that's on the lobby level,
okay,
room 501. If it says M, it's the marquee level. If it says A, it's the atrium level. It's whatever big ballroom usually or big function is on that level.
Okay.
So if you need to find the L rooms, they're going to be on the same level as the lobby. I actually think that was brilliant when they renamed all the rooms last year, a couple of years ago, and they did them to numbers and in levels. I thought, yes, because you would not believe how many international halls I have and how many mm-hmm. grand halls I have or grand ballrooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we have the Sheraton Grand Ballroom. We have now have the Hilton has a grand salon and a grand.
Mm-hmm.
The art show is in the Grand and the Hyatt.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be grand. Everybody wants to be grand. So a lot of the rooms are kind of named the same, so pay attention to which hotel you're supposed to be in. It's just they all, like I said, they have similar ideas when they're naming rooms.
Speaking of directions, do you have a particular path that you normally take getting from one hotel to another? Do you find that one area that you found a shortcut that although I don't know that you really want to tell everybody.
Don't tell.
But do you have a tip on getting around from one hotel to another?
I would tell you that I don't like hills.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
We have a rather steep one between the Sheraton and the Westin. So I tend to, my path tends to lead me from my office in the Marriott across to the Hyatt, down to the Westin, then down the hill to the Sheraton rather than up the hill. And then over to the Hilton and then back across the Sky Bridges into the Marriott. But it depends on what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go through the three mains, the Hyatt, the Marriott, and the Hilton, they're all connected by sky bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop on the sky bridge.
Oh, please do not.
Please do not stop on the sky bridge. You must keep moving. I put signs. I have signs printed every year. I know it's cool. I know. I understand. All the people behind you are not happy with you.
Nope.
They're like, why? It's like any Atlanta traffic. Whenever you have an accident, it's like, what's going on? I don't care. Just keep moving. The police are here. Just keep moving.
Mm-hmm. And this does not mean stop right after the Skybridge ends, both on the Hyatt.
No, continue out of the Skybridge area.
Can I say that's true for escalators too, please?
So you're not blocking people, please, because we have a lot of people moving.
Yes.
And try to move between events. So please be considerate of your other fans. One thing I do want to say, please, please, please be respectful of the guests when they are not in their panels. Be respectful of them when they are, but please be respectful of them when they're not in their panels. It is not cool for you to ask for an autograph or a selfie mm-hmm. when they're in the restroom. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Definitely not that.
I've had people tell me stories. Anne McCaffrey, bless her heart, she, has passed from us. She actually had somebody that shoved a book under the stall because they saw her going in.
God.
She's like, really? Really?
No.
She's trying to be gracious and everything. And they want to be gracious most of the time, but they're also human beings. They are entitled to have their meal uninterrupted.
Yes.
It's very cool to kind of look, there's so-and-so. But please just give them their, private time as well. Like I said, we're all human beings, and we all need to eat and go to the restroom and things like that. And so just be respectful. You wouldn't like it if somebody did that to you.
So a few years ago, a few years ago, I was crossing between, now I'm not going to remember, the Marriott and the Hilton. And, it happened to be that they were waiting for the light to change standing, I looked over to my right and standing right there was Nathan Fillion.
Right.
And I looked over and went, he looked at me. I said, hi. He said, hi. And then that was it. That was the end of the conversation. But my point is that there was also a bunch of other people around that I'm going to say this as a plot positive to the Dragon Con attendee. They weren't bothering him either. So that was it's one of the things that makes Dragon Con very, very unique. Is that I think that the majority, I'll go 98%, sure. Of our fans attendees are very respectful to the guests. The other 2% are sticking books on
any group of our size. There's always going to be that 1% who don't think the rules apply to them. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's the stuff people remember. We really rather them remember us for being super welcoming and super nice, but that they could actually, like I said, that they were respected. So they want to come back, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Usually that's the thing is a lot of times we have trouble convincing people to come at first. Mm-hmm. Aaron Douglas was a perfect example. Aaron Douglas, who was with Battlestar Galactica, he was the chief.
Yep.
He was a big old fan, so he came for several years before he convinced any of the others. And he's telling Edward James Olmos, no, man, you got to come. He's like, I don't do those things, you know. There. And then Edward James Olmos came, and he was like, oh, my God. You know,
this
is awesome. You know, this is absolutely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people did not like create this horrible atmosphere for me where I felt like I was, you know, being driven in a cattle, you know, kind of call thing. And you know, the other thing, don't touch people. Anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the cosplay is not consent as well. But you don't touch someone unless you've asked permission.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for everybody. That's a personal space thing. Be respectful of everybody, and we'll all get along better.
Yeah.
Just say
yes. We will.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Be nice. You know, just be nice.
That's the Will Wheaton, right?
Well,
number one rule: just don't be a dick.
Don't be a jerk.
Don't be that guy. That's actually Dragon Con's rule seven. Don't be a jerk.
There you go.
Jerk. We don't like jerks, and we take offense to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we expanded that to our very detailed harassment policy a few years ago. We didn't think we really needed to for a while. You know, we thought that was pretty encompassing. Don't be a jerk. But evidently some people needed some clarification. So we did that. I do want to mention that if you do have a situation, we take those things very seriously.
Yes.
We do have dedicated police officers in our security area in a quarantined off sort of place so you can talk in private. Much of the time they're female officers, so that if our female attendees feel uncomfortable, that we're watching out for that. And they definitely will listen to you. And if there's action to be taken, we take that very, very seriously. But we can't do anything about things we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So... absolutely.
Yeah, so
if somebody is being a creep to you, do not let that go. Because you know what? There's other people they're doing that too.
Right, yeah. Probably going to be a creep to somebody else. And also, you know, just posting it on social media or whatever doesn't really help.
Doesn't help us. Do you know how much social media is out there? We can't monitor everything.
Right. And if there's
and we can't do anything about it unless you come in and tell us and you know, are quite frankly ready to press charges.
Exactly.
So. You know, we can watch and we can be aware that this person has started, you know, being a little that way. Mm-hmm. And so that we're more ready to take action. But, you know, we got 80,000 people to worry about. So we don't know. We can't help. And we want to help. So there's that.
All right.
My public service message for today.
So this is the
one other thing.
Oh, sorry.
One quick thing. Things talk about, people asked about things that cost extra.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah.
Okay. So your DragonCon badge includes almost everything at DragonCon. There are a couple of exceptions. Kevin and Phil already talked about gaming. Some of the tournaments have fees that go in. Mm-hmm. And those go towards prizes most of the time. The aquarium event is an extra fee event. It is DragonCon night and is shut down just for DragonCon attendees.
Mm-hmm.
But there it is an extra fee. It goes to support the aquarium and, you know, all the fishing stuff that had to feed all of our lovely friends over there. But, you know, it is a private event for us, but it is an extra fee. And there are some workshops that, not all workshops, they're usually noted as an extra fee event. But things like the two-day book intensive writing workshop with Jody Lynn Knight. Obviously, you're getting 2 days of her time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's published over 40, 50 books, so she kind of knows something. So those kind of things. R.J. Hattie is doing, you know, the makeup workshop. He was on Face Off. Those kind of things. We have a few of those. They're in a section called workshops. And it will be noted which ones those are. But and please check out the website if there are other things to do, and they'll show you different ones. Erin Gray does Tai Chi workshops, those kind of things. So, but that's pretty much everything else is included.
I get two questions around the aquarium night. First of all, do you have to have a badge as well as the ticket, or is it just the ticket?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's a DragonCon only event.
Okay, so you have to. So if you're going, you still need to bring your badge with you.
Yes.
Okay. The other thing was, are there still tickets available? Do we know?
That I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Quite frankly, I'm not sure where we are in that process. But normally, there are a few left,
mm-hmm.
And they will be selling those at the aquarium table that is in the Sheridan next to registration. There are a few. Those kind of sponsor tables and that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
that will be there, and they will have any available tickets usually there. The event did sell out last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I'm pretty sure the VIP section has sold out, but I'm not sure if the general admission has.
Okay.
So and on ending about being nice, let's go. Okay. Thanks, Regina. Bye.
So this is the part of the show, Regina, where we like to.
Yeah, I've been listening to him. I kind of agree that Lee's been kind of taking the brunt of it there. But
what?
I'll play along if you want.
What? I don't know what you're talking about. That's
That's why I'm trying to get you in a Morticia Adams outfit.
So.
Hey, yeah, I heard that. You've got links to get that. You can get that done. Amazon ships two day all the time.
Yeah, it's not like he's not already prime either. So trust me on that.
So anyway, so you know how the game's played. So we'll just jump right into it. I'm going to give you the three topics, and then we pick one, then we go back and forth. Okay. So let me hit refresh. Okay, television geeks, games with dragon in the title, or actors from Spider-Man movies. Wow, those aren't really. Those are really vague topics.
But it was completely... not really a gamer, but I'll drink games with dragons in it.
Okay.
Good Lord. Why play that?
All right. You start, Regina.
Dragon Riders of Pern.
Lee.
That was a board game. I own it.
I totally believe you. Dungeons and Dragons. Let's get the one I think I know out of my head.
Okay, Regina.
Dragon Quest.
Yeah, there you go.
That one.
Yep, it is. Lee.
Dragon Egg.
What? Dragon Egg?
I have no idea. I said I knew one.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna look. You might get lucky. Dragon. Dragon Egg game.
And Google says no.
Dragon Egg. Oh, wait. Google says. There was a Wii U game called Dragon Egg. So you get a point.
Yay!
Regina.
See, now this is where I'm getting to the end, because I don't.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons, I knew, you know.
Dragon Age is a game. I mean.
And there are a lot of things that have dragons within them, but not in the name of the game.
There is something like Dragon Age.
Yeah, Dragon Age. Yeah.
Oh, Dragon Age. Yes, that's one. That. That's a good one. Yeah,
I've heard of that.
Lee.
Yeah.
Baby dragons. I'm gonna make you Google again. I got lucky once. Let's see if I can make you Google again.
Baby dragons game. All right, here we go. Actually, can't. Baby dragons Game of Thrones is what came up. Hold on, let me just try it that way. No, there is not. So Regina wins that round.
Okay.
And Lee, you get to which, by the way, she should have won anyway, because you just randomly guessed a thing.
I didn't say I didn't drag.
even without my help. All right, so here we go. Fictional languages, comic book characters that appear in more than one film, or Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Is it Hanna-Barbera cartoon characters or cartoons?
Cartoons.
Oh, okay. Then let's do superheroes in more than one movie.
Comic book characters that appear in more than one movie. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Go ahead. Start.
Oh, okay. Spider-Man.
Sure.
Wonder Woman.
There you go. Lee.
Captain America.
Regina.
Iron Man.
Lee.
Superman.
Regina.
Batman.
Lee.
You just said Iron Man. Hawkeye.
Regina.
Black Widow.
There you go. Lee.
Vision.
Yes. Okay. I had to think about it for a second, because I was, yeah. Okay. Regina.
The Hulk.
There you go. Lee.
Scarlet Witch.
Regina.
Oh, God.
Dude, we haven't even gotten into the X-Men. Come on, Regina. Think about X-Men.
Yeah, Wolverine. Sorry. Thank you.
There you go. Lee.
Magneto.
Regina.
Jean Grey.
Lee.
Professor X.
Regina.
Havoc? Was Havoc in more than one?
Yeah, actually, yeah. In fact, he was. Lee.
Quicksilver, yeah.
Regina.
Cyclops.
Let's say Quicksilver's been like.
He's been multiple characters.
He's been multiple people. Yeah, it's been.
Yeah, right.
Lee, this is for 10.
Oh, Nightcrawler.
And Regina for 10.
The Beast.
There you go. All right, we made it to 10.
Woo-hoo!
I imagine that particular topic would have been a lot harder, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
15 mm-hmm. years ago, yeah.
Agreed.
All right, so for the last round. Okay, flavored sodas, games made into films, or fictional scientists. Wow, it was not nice to you on this.
Sodas. I'll take sodas.
All right, Regina.
Coke Zero.
Sure.
Minimize my Coke Zero. Although Coke Zero sugar is not too bad.
Lee?
Cherry Coke.
Regina?
Just Coca-Cola.
Sure. Lee?
Vanilla Coke.
Regina?
Mountain Dew.
There you go. Lee?
My absolute favorite, Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay. Regina?
Dr. Pepper.
Lee?
Cherry Dr. Pepper.
Just, I realize there's a flaw in this particular topic, but go on. Regina. Just one person named it, the other person just puts cherry in front of it.
Or diet. Yeah, because Diet Coke has not been said.
Oh, yeah, it has not. You're right. Lee?
Cherry Pepsi.
Sure. Regina.
This is a Coke town.
Yeah.
I know. Well, we already said Mountain Dew.
Yeah, but that has an exception. Yeah, there is yellow exception. Is not.
7 Up.
Okay, Lee.
Sprite.
Oh, there you go. Regina.
Schweppes Ginger Ale.
Wow. Getting very specific. Lee.
New York Black Cherry Seltzer.
I don't know that I would call it, well.
It's got bubbles.
I'll let it slide. Regina. Sugar. Regina.
Cheer Wine.
Well, there you go. That's
oh, Cheer Wine is so good. Lee? Cheer Wine is so good. Fanta. Orange Fanta.
Orange Fanta. Regina.
I was going to say, which flavor? Great Fanta.
Yeah. Great Fanta. Okay, there we go. Lee.
Pineapple Fanta.
Regina for 10.
Welch's Grape Soda.
Lee.
Give me a second. I guess second, because she said Welch's Grape. Minute Maid. Not Minute Maid. No. What is it? It's the orange one that's Coke. Or Pepsi. Minute Maid.
Right.
Minute Maid Lemonade.
Minute Maid Orange.
Minute Maid Orange.
All right, that's 10. That's.
I want to say one more, though. Okay, this is the most disgusting thing you'll ever drink to me is Beverly.
Oh, I had that.
Actually, one in the world of Coke that everybody tries and goes, oh
my God, the thing
who
is,
do they sell this to?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes.
I've never tried this one. What is it, Beverly?
Oh, it's disgusting. It's something that they like. It's very, very bitter, and they like it over in, like, Norway and stuff like that, because I was like, who would drink this?
Well,
things that everybody tastes at the World of Coke but goes, oh my God.
Yeah, in fact, actually, there's a whole challenge around it, right?
To drink it.
Oh my God.
One called Vernon, too. I can't remember. I think that was like apple flavored.
Oh God, the thing
well,
was
I know of a Vernon. I know of a Vernon ginger ale, and it's pretty awful, too. There is something they do in Kenya called Crest, which is kind of a lemon-lime funkiness, but it's tasty. It's like a bitter lemon. It's awesome. You get used to it when you're there because you can't get
like
Coke.
Kind of like a Bayer lemon or something like that?
Bittery, I mean, yeah.
More bittery.
It's different. Okay. It's different. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I like it.
Yeah.
I've gotten used to it.
Oh, cool.
All right. Well, Regina, again, thank you for joining us. I would say I normally ask people where to find you at this point in time, but there's
don't find her. Yeah, I'm everywhere. I'm just everywhere.
Always in your peripheral vision.
I have a spidey sense of when things may or may not go well, and I tend to show up. It's kind of miraculous when I show up to solve issues. So
yeah.
Before they become issues, hopefully. Yeah. So,
I should say the scores were, Lee, you got 22, which I think might be your high score. And Regina, you got 25. Congratulations.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Oh, no, wait. I think I got 23 with Jen because then they both got 24. But I'm close.
Right.
This one was much better, John. Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you all at DragonCon. At this count, we're only 13 days out with the recording of this.
Yeah.
So we're all very excited. And Lee, I will see you later in the day.
Yeah. Yes, I will see you later today.
And the registration is still in Sheridan. It hasn't changed since
still
the
in the Sheridan. Still in the Sheridan. Still in the same place, and it's still awesome. You can get in and out very quickly. So
yep.
We fix that. We fix that.
That problem. That, if you're still thinking you're having that problem, you haven't.
No,
been
we're not having that problem.
You haven't been.
Actually, have complaints that people get through the line too quickly now because they don't get to make their con friend the registration line friend anymore because we get through too quickly.
There are people that will line up early now. Earlier than they would have, just so they can stand in line. I'm like, okay.
So they stand in line.
Sorry. One of those is our friend Rox, who is usually towards the start of the line because she gets there like 6 a.m. on Thursday.
Start
or somewhere
saying hi to everybody and blah blah blah.
Oh, I did. Did I? Can I say one more quick thing about Thursday night?
Yeah. Sure.
Thursday night. Thursday this year, we are requiring badges for many of our events. There is one event that does not require a Dragon Con badge. That is Sherilyn Kenyon's book launch, which will be in the Hyatt in Regency 6-7. We had arranged that before we decided to do the charging, and it was already arranged with our book publisher and everything. So we are not charging for that event. You can go to that on Thursday night. Everything else will require you to either have a full Dragon Con badge or a Thursday badge, which can be purchased for $10. Registration will be open until 10 p.m. regular registration for you to pick up your badges, you know, your memberships. Mm-hmm. After that, there will be a Thursday-only badge sale. We're selling those in the Marriott, probably on the marquee level near the Dragon Con store location. But if you get that badge there, you can't bring and get your full badge. You're buying a $10 membership for Thursday only, and that is non-refundable. I'm just gonna, and it's gonna be like cash only. If you want to come to some party or something like the Bunny Hutch party or some other events that are going on, like the 8-bit ball and those kind of things,
and Lee's ball,
you can come.
Lee's
80s dance, and you know, all those kind of things. All of those will require a badge to get in, but it is $10. But if you already have your full Dragon Con badge, that's included.
Right.
It's
so you
extra benefit.
You need to pick it up before 10 o'clock, though.
Before 10 p.m. But we open, like, at 10 a.m., too.
Yeah,
so we're
open
for 12
earlier.
Hours.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes if they are all ready to go, they open a little early. But 10 a.m. is the published time when they're definitely going to be open.
Right.
So we heard you. We heard a lot of people saying, but what if I can't get into town in time? Well, we have an option for you.
There you go.
All
right. Well, thank you again, Regina, for joining us, because I know this is like absolute crunch time for you, because as we found out, you get a guest added, and then everything has to change again.
Correct. So, things move around. Yeah.
So good luck today at the director's meeting, and
thank you.
Look to forward to seeing you in just about 2 weeks.
Yep.
All right. Woo-hoo! So until next time, for Regina and Lee, this is John saying peace.
See you, Dragon.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter, @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.